From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, a new interpretation of Genesis. Looking forward to that. Here's what's happening. Two Russian bombers, escorted for the first time by their own pair of Flanker fighter jets, entered Alaska's air defense zone on Wednesday night. The Russian formation was intercepted by a pair of U.S. Air Force F-22 stealth fighter jets and were already flying a patrol about 50 miles southwest of Chariot, Alaska. It was the first time the U.S. Air Force has seen advanced Russian 35 fighter jets escort Russian Cold War-era bombers near Alaska. They're playing cat and mouse. When Iran attempted to launch a cruise missile from a Midget submarine earlier this week, Pentagon officials saw more evidence of North Korean influence in the Islamic Republic, with intelligence reports saying that the submarine was based on a North Korean design, the same type that sank a South Korean warship back in 2010. According to U.S. defense officials, Iran was attempting to launch a cruise missile underwater for the first time, but the launch failed. Non-proliferation experts have long suspected North Korea and Iran are sharing expertise when it comes to their rogue missile programs. Dr. John Curtis, onlinecolumnist.com, with us. John, I thought we'd check in with your perspective on what's happening worldwide these days. A little quiet in North Korea today.
Well, I think that, you know, they've gotten the message from China, and I think that they've backed off for the moment. I mean, I think there could be, you know, a nuclear test or another missile fired at any time. But I think that, you know, there's a very different view. I mean, the perspective around the globe, U.S. foreign policy, is the U.S. is back in terms of if it says that, you know, there's transgressions taking place, some threat to U.S. national security, there's going to be a response. They're getting that impression with Trump. And it isn't so much that he's unpredictable, that's the way, you know, sometimes the media paints him, but that he's allowing, you know, the Pentagon, basically, and he's got a pretty aggressive defense minister in James Mattis, call the shots right now. So I think that, you know, you could look at U.S. foreign policy taking a very different perspective than it did under Obama.
But if Kim launches another nuke in a test, what do you think is going to happen?
I think there could be a very strong response on the part of the Trump administration. They have done everything possible as far as diplomacy to put as much pressure as they can on North Korea. But I think the view that the end of strategic patience is over is over. And I think they're, you know, the major concern is that that if they do respond to North Korea, it has to be a devastating type response. It has to take out his air force, take out the missile launchers, and certainly the nukes. And because, you know, South Korea, a very strong ally of the United States with a 20th largest economy in the world, they're 35 miles from the DMZ, from Seoul, and they're at a huge risk to North Korean attack.
And what's your take on Russia with these flybys in Alaska?
Well, I think Russia is, you know, being Russia, which is, you know, Vladimir Putin has a very strong tendency to assert himself. I think he gets a lot of mileage when it's reported back in Russia, you know, being, you know, kind of confronting, you know, the U.S. military and showing that he's not intimidated at all. But I think they're purely symbolic. And I think at some point, I think there's going to be an improvement in U.S.-Russian relations. I think that, you know, the war hawks on Capitol Hill have done anything possible to sabotage any attempt on the part of the Trump administration to do a really legitimate reset with Russia. With Russia on the U.S. side, George, and if you believe in linkage, that it's helpful to have a strong relation with sometimes your what are traditional enemies, it can have a huge impact on solving problems like in North Korea, parts of Syria, you know, and other aspects of the Middle East. You want to have these kind of allies, but, you know, he's been sabotaged under the, you know, with the allegations that have been made about Russian interference in the U.S. election and the connection, not just with the Russian interference, but with the Trump administration officials, I think has made it impossible for any overtures to be made to Russia without the accusations being made that somehow the Trump administration has some kind of covert ties with them. So I think as time goes on, I think there will be an improvement in ties with Russia, with the U.S., and I think it'll help dramatically in areas like North Korea and Syria.
John Curtis, onlinecolumnist.com. House Republicans have narrowly approved their sweeping health care bill aimed at fulfilling the campaign promise to upend Obamacare after resuscitating legislation that had flatlined on the floor about 6 weeks earlier. The passage marked Republicans' biggest step yet toward replacing the Obama administration's signature domestic policy law. The bill heads to the Senate, however, where it faces an uncertain fate. In my opinion, and not everybody's gone through everything with this new bill that's been approved by the House, both plans, Obamacare and this one, have deficiencies, and I hope the Senate takes a look at both of them and then puts the best parts of each one. I mean, people with prior conditions should be able to get insurance, and I'm not sure they're going to be able to do it under the new plan the way that they should. Kraft Heinz said it would incur pre-tax costs of $2 billion related to the elimination of 5,150 jobs, the shutting of six factories, and the streamlining of its distribution. A man has been accused of murdering his next-door neighbor after claiming she trained her parrot to insult him. My gosh. In Colorado, hundreds of cows were killed or lost during the blizzard that hit extreme southeastern Colorado last weekend. More than 2 feet of snow buried the region out there. We just escaped it when we went to Boulder for the Beyond Belief television shows. A suicide attempt by a teenage girl in Georgia was stopped just in time after she started broadcasting her plans on Facebook Live. And as we reported yesterday, Facebook hiring 3,000 people to just search that site to try to avoid some of these issues. Lauren Weinstein, our internet expert, what do you think of all of this, Lauren?
Hey, before I address that, can I offer a scary thought on North Korea?
Yeah, go ahead.
When we talk about potential reactions in terms of military strikes on North Korea, I find myself thinking all the time, the main problem North Korea has right now isn't so much firing off nuclear weapons on the ground. It's getting them small enough to put on a missile and get a missile to go far enough to do, damage far away. Has anyone been thinking about the possibility that over this time North Korea may have actually planted some just static nukes? I mean, they could be in cargo carriers.
Suitcase nukes.
Around South Korea that they could detonate if there was an attack made? I mean, I don't hear this being discussed.
We kicked it around a couple days ago that they might have little even suitcase nukes, so who knows?
Yeah, I mean, we know they know how to make nuclear weapons, that's for sure.
Indeed. Now, Facebook. Hiring 3,000 people to search their sites.
Yeah, what's actually going on here, I've been digging into this a little bit over the last couple of days. So it turns out that Facebook already has about 4,500 people that are engaged in reacting to abuse reports. So what this is really all about is adding 3,000 over the course of a year, and it's not clear if these are employees or contracted out, outsourced workers or what. And what these will mainly be doing is not so much searching proactively, but reacting to abuse reports. Now, we've talked about this before. The problem is that even if people see something horrendous going on, like a suicide attempt or other awful live murders on Facebook now, and they report it, it can be hours under the existing system before those videos are taken down, just because Facebook has such an enormous volume of material flowing into it all the time. So almost doubling the number of people, human beings that are there to react to those abuse reports when they occur, should, at least in theory, speed up that process and help get some of that taken down faster. It will not eliminate the problem just because the scale of what Facebook does and the number of live streams and videos being uploaded at any given time is just so enormous. But it's a good step, and I applaud Facebook for going in this direction.
Super. Thank you, Lauren. Up next, of course, Ben Fuchs. Pharmacist Ben joins us from criticalhealthnews.com, one of our partners and sponsors of the show, as a matter of fact. A couple things. First of all, let me give you a toll-free number where there are people there who will answer your questions. 1-855-949-7234, 1-855-949-RADIO, and the website, which you can look at, and I advise all of you to do that, criticalhealthnews.com, criticalhealthnews.com. We begin with Pharmacist Ben next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. He appears with us every once in a while, Pharmacist Ben Fuchs, a registered pharmacist, nutritionist, cosmetic chemist as well, and he's part of the criticalhealthnews.com team. Pharmacist Ben back on Coast to Coast. Ben, it was great seeing you at the Toronto Health Show a few weeks ago.
Well, it was a lot of fun. I love Toronto.
The people in Toronto are so receptive to health-related issues.
Yeah, and it's ironic because Canadians are way sicker than Americans on the whole. And a lot of that has to do with their government-mandated health care. You know, when people have this easy out for their health issues by taking a drug, which doesn't help health conditions, they tend to take that rather than work with nutrition and work with exercise and work with diet, and the net result is a lot of sick people.
Why are prescription drugs cheaper in Canada than they are here? Same thing.
You know, it's a great question. They shouldn't be. The United States of America, citizens of the United States pay the highest cost for drugs of any country in the world, and I'm talking ridiculously high cost. Did you hear about that $89,000 MS drug?
Yes.
Is that absurd?
Larry, that's nuts. And insurance isn't going to cover that.
And George, the cost of these things to manufacture is pennies. I'm serious, not exaggerating, pennies to manufacture these things. And the drug companies want you to think that it's all the research and development. You know, almost 40% of their costs go to marketing, go to commercials to sell their product.
Well, you know, you're a pharmacist. You've seen this come and go. I mean, is it out of control?
It's absolutely out of control, but we can be proactive and eliminate this. There are no drugs. I'm telling you this as a pharmacist, George. There are no drugs that can reverse or cure a disease state, a chronic degenerative disease state, with the exception of perhaps antibiotics, which kill bacteria, prevent infections or eliminate infections. There are no drugs that can eliminate or reverse chronic degenerative diseases. It's not how they work. On the other hand, the nutritional strategies that we talk about at Critical Health News, that you and I talk about on this radio program, 100% possible. The chances of reversal of disease states using nutrition is almost 100% if you do it correctly. Now, you have to do it correctly. You have to do it strategically. And this is one of the reasons why I'm so proud to represent the Longevity Line, is because they simplify nutritional supplementation. And understanding how to use nutritional supplements is a bit complicated. So you want to be able to use supplements strategically. You want to be able to use a program that involves all of the 90 essential nutrients that the body needs. But once the body is given these 90 essential nutrients, and along with exercise and along with mental health strategies, emotional strategies, even spiritual strategies, all chronic degenerative diseases can reverse because it's in the body's nature to heal once it has the raw materials it needs to do its work.
I bought today, and I got to tell you, I feel so guilty. When I was a kid, I had an obsession with the Hostess cupcakes, you know, with the filling on the inside.
Okay.
I mean, so I'm in the grocery store today, and it's raining cats and dogs in St. Louis where I am right now. And I saw a package of them. And I bought them, and I ate them. And I got to tell you, I feel so guilty for that. Should I feel that guilty?
No, you should never feel guilty. Guilt is never appropriate. But here's the thing, George. First of all, when we are in a negative mood, and rain can do that sometimes, or bad weather can do that, it's harder to have willpower. You know, you'll find that your willpower is reduced when your mood is less, you have a less than a positive mood. But if you do indulge, there are many strategies that you can use to mitigate the impact of sugar and other toxins in processed foods. For example, using our Beyond Tangy Tangerine, using fiber, drinking more water to dilute your blood sugar. These are wonderful strategies using our Sweeties product. These are wonderful strategies that you can use after you indulge. In fact, you know, we've talked about Beyond Tangy Tangerine a lot on this program. Beyond Tangy Tangerine should be used while you're eating your meals because they'll help you digest the nutrients in the BTT, the Beyond Tangy Tangerine, will help you digest your food, and it will also protect you from the sugar and the other toxins, and believe it or not, processed food has a lot of toxins in it that you're indulging in.
But you shouldn't cheat all the time.
You know, I don't like the word cheat. I don't like beating ourselves
indulge.
Up.
Indulge. All right, I'll use your word, indulge. You shouldn't
indulge.
Have to indulge
yeah.
all the time.
Indulge. No, you don't want to. You don't want to get carried away with indulgences. But on the other hand, if you do, instead of beating ourselves up, get on a nutritional supplement program, use nutritional supplements, use fiber, use water. Water is one of the all-time great strategies for lowering blood sugar. Nobody ever talks about that. You know, first thing in the morning, we're tired because we've gone to the bathroom a couple of times. We immediately go for the coffee. But it could be that we're just deficient in the B vitamins. It could be that we're just deficient in electrolytes because we've gone to the bathroom a couple of times. You know, the electrolytes and the B vitamins are highly, highly electrical nutrients that the body uses for energy. And because they're water soluble, we urinate them out. And the more water you drink, the more you urinate out. So replacing these things with Beyond Tangy Tangerine and electrolyte supplements juicing are powerful strategies that will allow us to mitigate and soften the blow of all of the toxins that we're immersed in, not just in snack foods, but even in with chlorinated water and fluoridated water, the air that we're breathing, even meat and fish and produce has toxins in it. So using a nutritional supplement program, the way I look at it, is an absolute must.
We're with Pharmacist Ben, criticalhealthnews.com. They provide us great information, and Doc Wallach's part of that team as well as Dr. Joanne Conaway, and they all come on for just a couple hours every month. And Ben, it's a great service that you all provide.
Thank you, and you know what? We're proud to do it, and the letters that we get just reinforce what we're doing, the importance of what we're doing. I can't tell you how gratifying it is, George. You saw it at the Toronto Expo, all the people who were...
Oh, my gosh, they went wild.
They went wild. They're so grateful and they're so thankful because nobody is giving us the straight scoop. And what I talk about on this program, what I talk about on my program and my presentations, comes not just from my pharmacy background, but from my personal experience working with people. I talk to people every day on the telephone. I'm emailing, responding to emails every day. I'm in contact with people every day. It's just the most rewarding thing for a healthcare professional to be able to touch people in this positive way, to change lives in this positive way. And I thank you for the opportunity, and I can't even express it in words how gratifying it is.
The phone number where they have an army of people to give you information to help you. This is not the number to get on the show to talk with Ben, which we're going to do in just a moment, but just to talk to people about your situation, 1-855-949-7234, 1-855-949-RADIO. Now, they're not doctors, Ben, and I always try to tell people, look, still consult with your doctor. You know, Doc Wallach, who's a veterinarian by trade and a naturopathic doctor, doesn't like much medical doctors. I think, on the other hand, that they still provide a great service.
Well, we make a distinction in pharmacy school between two kinds of medicine. We call it heroic medicine and ambulatory medicine. Heroic medicine is the medicine of heroes, and that's an amazing, amazing gift. It's miraculous what doctors can do to people who have limbs chopped off and get hit by cars and heart, kidney transplants and heart transplants and bypasses. These are heroic measures that are really, really spectacular. Miraculous is not it's not saying too much. But the ambulatory side of medicine, to ambulate meaning to walk into the doctor's office and walk out of the doctor's office, that is designed to treat chronic long-term illnesses, is a complete failure. In fact, as amazing as heroic medicine is, that is how terrible chronic disease management is. In fact, doctors will tell you there's no cure for autoimmune diseases, and there's no cure for heart disease, and there's no cure for diabetes, and indeed there is no cure, but there's reversal, and this is a very important point. The idea of reversing chronic degenerative diseases is not medical. It's not in their world, and this all gets down to the fact that the medical model does not distinguish between cells and tissues and organs. When we think we have, say, bone disease or liver disease or brain disease, what we really have is liver cell disease, brain cell disease, bone cell disease. And the reason the medical model does not distinguish between the cell and the organ or the cell and the tissue is because at the level of the cell, there's no medicine. You can't medicate a cell. In fact, all you can do to a cell is poison it, or the medical model can do is poison it, extricate it, radiate it, or electrocute it. In other words, all they can do with all their wonderful bag of medical tricks is somehow destroy or prevent the cell from doing what it's supposed to do.
Oh, that's true. Ben, stay with us. We've got an hour and a half of phone calls with you now from listeners who just want to get better. And don't forget, criticalhealthnews.com is the website. Go to it now, or 855-949-7234. 1-855-949-RADIO, people to answer your questions. And welcome back to Coast with pharmacist Ben, criticalhealthnews.com. Their number to call for some assistance, 1-855-949-RADIO. Just remember that. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. And when you go to the criticalhealthnews.com website, do take some time to look at all the videos that they've got there, Doc Wallach's videos, and just the great information there. And if you need to speak to somebody, 855-949-7234, 855-949-RADIO. Pharmacist Ben with us. We'll get to your calls. He's going to be with us next hour as well. So those of you who will be on hold when we get to the top of the hour, fear not, we will get to your calls. Ben, when people go and get a prescription filled, and they get it for personal reasons, obviously, and when they leave, do the people behind the counter, do they talk about us when we walk out?
I can't tell you that, George.
Come on, tell me the trade secret. I mean, they say, well, this guy's got kidney issues.
No, we don't. And it's funny, though, when I was a pharmacy student, it was kind of interesting. No, we don't do that, George. There's confidentiality. Pharmacists take their job very, very seriously. And I rip on drugs and I rip on the pharmaceutical business a lot. But the pharmacists, and the doctors for that matter, George, are really good people. I know a lot of physicians, and they're really, really good people. I know a lot of pharmacists. I know a lot of nurses and other healthcare professionals. We got into the business because we wanted to make a difference. And even the pharmacists and the doctors who believe in the model, which I don't believe in, even those who believe in the model, they're still wonderful, kind human beings. And I never want to be perceived that my negative points of view about the pharmaceutical business or the medical model are about the individuals who are practicing. It's not. It's the model. It's the paradigm that says that we can drug ourselves into health or that we can surgically remove organs and somehow be better for it. It flies in the face of common sense and logic. We as a public are deluded by this idea of risk management. And in the names of risk management, not curing, not reversing, not getting better, but in the name of risk management, we are willing to do all kinds of things to mutilate our bodies and to destroy them with prescription drugs. Literally, as I was saying before the break, drugs poison cells, period. Most of the tools of the medical model do not help a cell. In fact, the opposite is true. This is why nutrition is so important. The nutrients that we talk about on this program, George, are the foods that a cell eats. What we're talking about when we talk about these strategies, which go under the name, ironically, of alternative health, they shouldn't be, they should be primary health. The medical model should be alternative health. What we talk about are giving the cell, the fundamental unit of life, what it needs to perform its duties. And under those conditions of having abundant raw materials, the human body, the cells, and the human body itself knows what to do. We couldn't have survived 2 million years in this form if the body didn't know what to do. I mean, every time you cut yourself, you don't have to think about it. Your cut heals. We get cancer every day, George. There are systems in place in the body that snip out the cancer, literally. When finally cancer does show up, it's only because those systems have been overwhelmed. When healing does not take place, it's only because the system is somehow being deprived of the raw materials it needs. This is the most common sense idea. Give the body what it needs, don't put the bad stuff in, and let the divine force that runs the body do the rest.
Good point. Let's go to the phones with pharmacist Ben from criticalhealthnews.com. They've assembled a magnificent team that provides us great information. I got an email from somebody today knowing that you were going to be on the program, and they said, why in the heck do you only give him 2 hours? you know, I give you two, and I give give Doc Wallach two, or Dr. Joanne Conaway two, but we devote 4 hours a month to this, and that guy reamed me out, wanted more hours.
You know, I think that we have an automatic truth, a built-in truth detector. We have a built-in BS detector, and we have a built-in truth detector.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of noticed when I was just started doing my presentations 20, 25 years ago, I started noticing that as I was talking about these ideas, people's ears would almost, like little radar.
They know.
Radar device. It would beep, 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 like that. And they get, oh, they start to listen, they start to pay attention because these ideas make sense.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Kyla in Toronto on the international line to get us started. Hello, Kyla.
Hey, Kyla.
Hi, George. Good morning, Ben. It's a pleasure and an honor to speak to you.
Thank you.
I phoned Critical Health News back in February of 2016, but the price of the non-essential nutrients with the Canadian dollar being so low, I couldn't afford them. So I said, there's got to be something I can do for myself and my health. So I thought, everybody's heard the saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. So I started an apple a day. Mm. I started about 2 to 3 tablespoons of fresh raw garlic a day. 2 to 3 tablespoons of fresh raw ginger a day.
Oh, wow.
I got rid of the gluten. I quit the fried foods. I quit the processed meats. I reduced my sugar lower, and I took care of my bathroom odor rhinitis. I took care of my asthma. I used to get around 5 sinus infections a year. I haven't had a sinus infection for almost 14 months.
Wow.
Wow, that's amazing. That's Ben, awesome. That stuff works, doesn't
that's
it?
Awesome. Yeah, don't forget turmeric now, Kyla.
I love turmeric.
I knew you didn't say that, George. You know what, Kyla, right? Was
Kyla.
That your name, ma'am?
Kyla's her name.
Oh, Kyla. If you send an email to criticalhealthnews.com, put an email in there, and put your address in there. I'm going to send you a free Beyond Tangy Tangerine to Canada on me.
Well, good for you, Ben.
Okay, so put your address in the email, Kyla, and then...
You know you're going to get a million Kylas.
I can't do a million of them, but Kyla seems so sweet, and I don't want her.
You know what? Our audience, they're honest people, too. So you'll get just one Kyla from Toronto.
Yeah, Kyla from Toronto. So send your address and to Critical Health News, and I'll put one out to you here tomorrow or whenever.
How long does it take to go through pharmacy school?
Well, now they made it 6 years, and you get what's called a PharmD. Back when
does that include your 4 years of undergrad?
Yeah, that includes everything. Now it's 6 years. I'm pretty sure. When I did it, it was just 5 years, and we didn't get a doctorate of pharmacy. We just got a regular pharmacy degree. But then you got to have several thousand hours of internship hours in drugstores. I got my internship hours in the Blistex lab, working for Blistex, doing research. That's how I got in the skin business.
Great pharmacy college here in St. Louis.
Oh, one of the best, actually.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
They are.
I went to the University of Colorado.
Do pharmacists compound anymore, and explain what that means?
Yeah, when I started, I actually started a compounding pharmacy back in the early 90s. I had it for almost 25 years. Nobody knew what compounding was, but compounding is really what most pharmacists really went to school for, and that's the art of making the medicine.
You were the drug company.
Yes, exactly. We made the medicine. At the beginning of the 20th century, that all started to change, and compounding became kind of a rare art. It's now starting to pick up over the last 10 years or 15 years. It started to pick up a little bit. Now a lot of people know about compounding, but when I was in pharmacy school, it was pretty much a lost art. I, to be perfectly honest, speaking for myself, I loved it because it gave the pharmacist this feel of being a chemist, of really helping people, making a difference by making the medicine personalized for them. And this is a very interesting point. You know, pharmacy is about making medicine, but today we think pharmacy is about selling drugs. But pharmacy has a tradition of being the people who actually made the medicine. It wasn't drug companies that made the medicine when the art of pharmacy was born in the Middle Ages. It was only the last 150 years or so that pharmacy and drugs, pharmacy and pharmaceuticals, became synonymous. So being a pharmacist to me is really about making medicine, whether that medicine is food or whether that medicine is nutrition, or occasionally if that medicine happens to be pharmaceuticals. Pharmacy is the art of working with all kinds of medication, not just pharmaceuticals.
These pharmacies have become huge stores now, too. So it's not just the pharmacy division there that generates the profit for the store.
They're the loss leaders, George. The pharmacy division is a loss leader. At least in supermarkets, it is. They cut the cost down.
It's a convenience.
Even though you're going to come to the store and buy eggs or buy.
Yeah, that's what they want you for.
Yeah.
Let's go to Rick in Tacoma, Washington. Pharmacist Ben from CriticalHealthNews.com. Hi, Rick. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Good to speak with you again.
You too, Rick.
I want to commend you. And Dr. Walsh, for what you do.
Ben. Thank you.
And I heard something, George. You spoke a few weeks ago about a process that they did in Japan, and they duplicated the same thing here in the United States for eye disease, retinitis pigmentosa.
Yes. Stem cells. Yep.
Absolutely. And I hear that the one in Japan went okay. The one in the U.S. did not do so well.
No,
six of those seven went blind.
They went blind. That's right.
They
had nurses administer them.
What went so well in Japan?
Well, they were administered by professionals, medical doctors. They did it right. The facility was licensed in Japan. The one here in the U.S. was not. Big difference.
Do they have license? Physicians here in the United States that will do this.
I'm sure they do. Ben, okay. Are you tied into stem cells?
Regeneration for using stem cells. Stem cells are amazing. This is where we get into that idea of heroic medicine using stem cells. The problem is, if you still have the nutritional deficiencies and you're eating the wrong foods and you're not living a clean life, your new retina or your new organs or your new tissues are going to be in the same mess as your old ones eventually. So if you do have, if you do stem cell therapy or knee replacement or hip replacement, it becomes extra important that you get yourself on a good nutritional supplement program or you start taking care of your health.
Doctor, I do have a question for you.
Okay, go ahead, Rick.
What can I do nutritionally to
the eyes? For the
benefits?
Eyes?
For the eyes. For the eyes, Ben.
For the eyes. All kinds of stuff. First of all, the eyes are subject to a lot of light energy, so using electrically active nutrients, particularly vitamin C, is very, very important. Pigments are also very important. One of the things that happens as we get older is we don't absorb our reds and our yellows and our greens. These things that we call pigments are very, very important for the eyes. This is one of the reasons why Longevity's Ultimate Youth product is so helpful. It's the pigments that you put in water and you drink. Pigments are super duper.
Well, they've just come out with a new supplement for the eye.
Ocutive.
That's it.
Same idea. It's electrical nutrients for the eyes. The eyes are very subject to a lot of electrical energy from light, and so the tissue in the eyes, they call it epithelial tissue, tends to break down, and this is one of the reasons why macular degeneration occurs and why glaucoma occurs and cataracts occur. In fact, cataracts are almost par for the course for getting older, for older folks, but it doesn't have to be that way. Another issue when it comes to eye health is keeping your sugar intake down. We know eye diseases and diabetes go hand in hand, so making sure you're controlling your sugar with all the strategies we talked about earlier, using Sweeties from Longevity, making sure that you're diluting your blood sugar after you eat sugary foods. These are all important strategies for taking care of the eyes. As we get older, it's almost inevitable if we're not really paying attention to our nutritional supplementation and our health that the eyes will break down faster than any other system of the body.
Pharmacist Ben with us from CriticalHealthNews.com. Let's go to Julie in Nebraska. Welcome to the show. Hello, Julie. Go ahead.
Hello. Hello, Pharmacist Ben. I went to UCD, too.
What? Oh, you did?
Yes, I did.
When did you graduate? Or what did you graduate in?
Well, my bachelor's was in psych, but my master's is in counseling and guidance.
Oh, very nice.
I was back there in the old days, though. I graduated in 90.
In 1990?
Yeah.
That's not old.
It feels old right now in this wheelchair, let me tell you. Anyway, I have a lymphedema, fibromyalgia, ileocoeus bursa. That's what's got me in the wheelchair. And then I've got some birth defects. I have scoliosis and spina bifida occulta, and I have degenerative disc disease. Believe it or not, I fought this stuff off for about 30 years and took supplements and exercised. And
You want to hear the good news?
What?
The good news is the more broken down the body is, the faster it can begin to turn around. I love that about the body.
That's what I hear, but my problem now is sort of, I guess, the same thing that, was her name Kyla has.
Yeah.
I can't afford, I'm taking Walgreen vitamins these days.
You need some Beyond Tangy Tangerine, my dear.
And that's the best I can come up with.
You know, I know everybody's going to call and want some free, I'm going to give you a free one, too. You send me an email. I'm feeling generous today, but I can't keep doing it. I'm going
to
get you one. You send an email to criticalhealthnews.com. Put your email there. I'm going to send you a free.
Well, also Tom's going to get your information, Julie, on something that we're working on here. So keep pushing.
Thank you.
Not easy. All the different afflictions that she has.
It breaks my heart, George. It's so heartbreaking. The letters that we get is just so heartbreaking, and that's. I'm not going to ever stop doing this. I mean, this is so important to people. What is more important than your health, George? You know, I like
nothing. And let me tell you why. Because if you're not healthy, you cannot be there for the ones you care about.
It's not just for you.
It's not about you. It's about the people you care about.
That's exactly right.
You know, my mother, she's 88 years old. She's going to be 88 the end of May, and she was obsessed with alternative medicine, and she would send me clippings. I had Dr. Andrew Weil on last week, and every time he would pop up in the newspaper, she'd clip it out and mail it to me.
Oh, wow.
And, I mean, she taught me these things when I was like 12 years old, 15 years old, 20 years old.
Well, you know what, George? It shows in your love for humanity. I mean, your ability to communicate and to share and to be empathetic with people, to let them talk. It's just a beautiful thing, George, and it shows. Your mother did right.
Good lady.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. Thomas in La Jolla, California is with us now. Go ahead, Thomas.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call. High praise to you and Critical Health News. Benjamin, it's an honor and a pleasure.
Thank you.
My question, Benjamin, is about pharmaceutical opiate addiction,
oh, yeah,
which is epidemic.
Absolutely.
In the country today. And I was telling Tom Danheiser, I personally know many people in the allopathic profession, doctors, registered nurses, health technicians, who are addicted to pharmaceutical opiates,
mm-hmm,
and that would be like Vicodin, Oxycontin, Hydrocontin, those analogs too. And, you know, it's a strange addiction because it's masked. You know, you can hide it.
Yeah.
You know, if you get access to the opiates, and usually they have to steal it from the hospitals.
And if you get a prescription.
I recommend to the people, you know, I'm on Youngevity, and I tell them, start with Youngevity, get Nutrified.
Yeah.
But I was wondering, besides rehab, are there other,
mm-hmm,
I'm sure you have holistic techniques that,
absolutely,
can get people out of this opiate cycle.
All right, hold on, Tom. We'll get that answered when we come back at the top of the hour. Another hour to go with Pharmacist Ben. The website, criticalhealthnews.com. The number to call to get people, humans, to talk to you, 1-855-949-7234.